one, don't matter how old you are, is how obedient you are. Amen. And God can use an old person, He can use a young person, He can use a child that will believe Him and act upon His word. So as we sit down, if you trust God, I said, I'm looking for a message. He brought it. So we just sat down. She was sitting down at the bar, and it just started out of looking at a dollar bill and looking at, I went and got her Bible because I didn't have mine with me. You know, she's got one that's full of all the obituaries of her friends at church that's passed away. I'm like, we don't want to get in that one. That's the sacred Bible. I want one I can get in there and read and flip around. Nothing's falling out on the floor because that Bible she had was about that big. And she was looking over men and women, friends in church that passed away. I said, well, man, that's just an invitation list. Because you're going to see them again someday. I knew a few of them. I said, yeah, I'm going to see him again someday. And we start talking about death. I said, because this is one, a minister has to counsel people about death. And in a Christian, there is no death. I mean, you're going to die eventually. We're all going to die. But that death is not, we're not going to cease to exist. We're stepping on over to glory, if you know Jesus Christ. And I told Mama, I said, I'm pretty sure they're on your, at the church there, and you believe in, they believed in Jesus. We're going to see them again. So it's time to get happy about, yeah, they're not here. I'm missing them, but it's just a short time, a vapor. We're out of here. And then I started talking about how precious our time is. How this day, once it's gone, that's it. We can't get it back. So how precious is what we're saying to our kids, what we're doing, what we're hearing from God. Don't let this world and the cares of this world get you so frazzled that you're missing out on a... I'm getting into the message here. So we sat down and we just started going through her Bible and we talked on certain things and we just ministered and Lord ministered. And man, I said, I should have been writing this down. That was my outline. I said, you remember all that, Mom? Because I was there about an hour. We was talking about an hour. I said, that's about what I usually deliver at church. I said, she said, oh, no, I didn't. You on your own. I said, all right, well, the Holy Ghost said he'd bring back my remembrance of all things. I said, you pray. And I went home, left there after I had two more cups of coffee, make sure she didn't need anything. And I said, I got what I needed today, Mom. I'm on my way now. And I said, do you authorize this message? You approve it? She said, yeah, you got it. So I said, okay. So, know Jesus, no problem, no trouble. Know Jesus, no poverty. I don't want to know poverty. That was one thing she doesn't have a lot that she's worked. She doesn't have the riches that God really wants us to have to be able to leave an inheritance to your children's children. That's what the Bible says. That's what we need to be believing for. Because it's more blessed to give than to receive. And when I leave this place, I want them to have something that they didn't have to work for. Something they just believed for. Believe God for. Not daddy. I always tell my kids, if you're needing something, don't look to me. You better look to God. Because I'm not your source. God's your source. Now, he'll use me, but he's not the only. I'm not the only channel. We need other channels, parents, right? I like to tell people, I have a job at GE, but I work for God. General Electric. I mean, they're a great source, and I thank God for it, but God's my source. So, know Jesus, have a relationship with Jesus, no poverty. All this came about, the key verse here, if you want to go with me, flip with me, and is in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 1, verses 15. And as I met Sherry and Rowan for lunch, he had a football game Saturday, and we stopped at Moe's, like some good old Mexican food. And it was raining yesterday. It was coming down pretty good. As I walked toward Moe's with Rowan, you know, if you count your ears open, your spiritual ears, you'll hear from God. He'll speak. He'll use a bird if he needs to give you a message. A donkey, cat. I got a cat. Cat's a little bit of my message today. I walked by a storm drain. Storm drains can speak to you, Terry. Jesus spoke, had a conversation with fig trees. I looked out that storm drain, it was speaking loud to me. I heard that water. And then another voice spoke to me. Revelation 1:15. This is a picture of Jesus. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. The sound of many waters. I heard God speak through a storm drain. Preacher, you lost it. No, I heard God speak through a storm drain. And it was a lot louder than that water. And it was more refreshing than that water that was in that storm drain. It was running through my spirit, and I was getting a message. I knew this is where I needed to start. So I started there with Mom. Let's just define the word Revelation, the book of Revelation. If you look in your beginning of your Bible, it says the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is given by John, but it's a revelation of Jesus Christ. That word revelation in the Greek is the where we get our word apocalypse, apocalypto. It's an unveiling or disclosing of a reality that previously has not been perceived. I'm going to read it again. Revelation. An unveiling or disclosing of a reality. God's real. He proved himself he was real to me. Of a reality that previously I had not perceived of God through his Son, Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Ghost. See, there are three. If somebody's saying there ain't three, one God in three in one, I'd be careful about that. Because this is a foundational doctrine that's in the Bible. While you're there in Revelation chapter 1, we're going to read verses 9 through 15. I, John, both your brother, this is the Apostle John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ was on the Isle of Patmos. He is now listening to that stream in heaven where the voice of many water resides. But before he left, he had this testimony that he witnessed and knew personally Jesus Christ. I was on the island that is called Patmos for the Word of God. That was his testimony. He was put there on, this is kind of like if you think about the movie Alcatraz. Well, there ain't no escape from Patmos. Clint Eastwood got out of Alcatraz, but John didn't get out of Patmos, not in his body. But he was a prisoner of Jesus Christ. They couldn't hold him there. His body was there, but his spirit was alive unto God. No matter where you are in this world, you're not a prisoner of this world. You're a prisoner of Jesus Christ. That's a good prisoner to be. Good place to be. He was there because of his testimony that he knew Jesus Christ, and he wasn't silent. He had a voice for the Lord, and he spoke it, and it got him persecuted. He went through, you just need to study the book of John, study the history of John. He was boiled in oil. There's a lot of persecutions. But he was the last apostle living on this earth. He says, I was in the spirit. That's a key. You can't hear God in your mind. Now, you can renew your mind to his word, but he doesn't speak to your mind. John was in the spirit. Don't get flaky on me now. He was in the body, but he was hearing in his heart. I was in the spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me. Say, heard. Heard behind me a loud voice as a trumpet, saying, this trumpet said something. A trumpet can speak to you. Dr. Gary Price was here 20 years. I never got to hear him play a trumpet, but he could play a trumpet. That would be God speaking to you. Wayne played that piano. It was speaking to me this morning. God speaks through his people. He said through this voice, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, and what you see, John, write in a book. As I was sitting there with Mom, I said, Mom, there's some things you haven't told us, your kids, some things, or your grandkids, you know they're doing wrong, that you haven't got the heart to tell them. I said, God's saying you write you a book. I ain't talking about a big book. I said, get your notepad and write some things. I said, you're going to meet Jesus whether he comes, if he tarries, you're going to meet him before I get to. Oh, she's got 30 years on me. I said, but that's a good thing, Mom. I'm behind you. But I'm going to catch you if you get there before I do. So if there's some things you haven't said, she was getting a message today. God says, write them down. Leave them for us so that we can read them, Mom. I'll share them. And we've all got those things that sometimes we just don't say some things that we know we should have said. Write it down. Let somebody else say it for you. Aaron spoke for Moses. Right? It's okay. God loves you. And he said that to the churches. In verse 12, then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I just see John. Now Jesus is manifesting. He's revealed. He's seeing what he heard. That voice he heard, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst, John's getting a vision of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man. He'd never seen Jesus like this before. One like the Son of Man, clothed. I wish Reed was here. I'll give him the tape. Clothed. He talked about being clothed with those garments. And that last one was the garment of salvation. He was clothed with a garment to the feet and girded about his chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool. And I rubbed Mama's head right then because her whole hair is gray. I said, look there, Mama, you're looking a lot like Jesus. I said, I'm heading that way. Mine's getting a little grayer now than it used to be. And his eyes were like a flame of fire. Could burn you, look right through you, but just eyes of love. See all your sin and look right past it and love you. That's his eyes. And his feet were like fine brass as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. John was on the Isle of Patmos because of the persecution he received because he gave testimony to Jesus. We're going to get into our offering later on, but the Bible says we can believe for a hundredfold return, but there's a catch to it. Anybody know what the catch is? With persecutions. With persecutions. But we can receive the persecutions because there's somebody greater on the inside of us that'll help us push through it, the offense. Now, when I talk about persecutions, I'm not talking about sickness, sin, and disease. I'm talking about people making fun of you, mocking you, spitting upon you because of the God you're testifying to. That's persecuted. Being thrown in jail for, and a lady did this, for saying, I can't do this. It's not in me. It's not the right thing to do. I'm not going to obey the law of the land. I keep God first. God will take care of me. If you put me in jail like Joseph, I'm coming out. Just a little time. Just watch and see. God's faithful. He'll bring me out. He'll justify those that are doing his will. In verse 10, it said he heard Jesus and he was in the spirit. He didn't hear Jesus. He didn't hear this with his natural ears. With his natural ears, it's probably hard telling what he saw, what he heard with his eyes and with his ears. But there's something louder on the inside of you, and it can flush out. It can silence all the stuff. Right, Jesus, he was in the midst of a storm and he was asleep. Because he said, his father told him, Jesus, the mission, the next step is on the other side. That's all Jesus focused on. But he was actually testing his disciples. God won't test you with evil. He'll test you with his word. Boys, we're going to the other side. Teacher's going to sleep. And he's praying, Lord, are they going to do it? They could have got up and spoke to the storms like we can now, because he has given us that power and authority to speak against what's keeping me from getting where God needs me to be. If there's a storm coming, if there's a hurricane coming, if there's a whatever coming, earthquake, it's not going to stop me. God's going to help me through it to get to his job, to the mission he has, to somebody that's lost, that needs Jesus. Anybody warm in here? Are y'all comfortable? I have authority over the thermostat back here, so y'all let me know. If y'all get hot out there, start fanning at me. That's my signal. Maude either does this, if she puts her sweater on, I know y'all got y'all too cold. But if I say this, I got to go the other way. Hand signals. Pastors, we pick up on them. Verse 15, his voice as, I heard a voice as the sound of many waters. I want to read you from the notes I have here in my Spirit-filled, New King James Spirit-filled Life Bible. Whew, that's a mouthful, but I like it. I like his Bible. It speaks to me. It says, the clothing, this is verse 13 through 15, the clothing of the Lord, that garment symbolizes priestly royalty. Now, you need to get a picture of this, that you're hooked up with Jesus. The same clothes he has on, you have on, if you've received him. You're able to wear those clothes. The white hair and the flaming eyes symbolize eternity, wisdom, and omniscience. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. When I look at Jesus, He's my all in all. He was in my past, He's in the now, and He's in my future. He cares about every area of my life, past, present, and future. And not only does He care about it, He's made a path for me to come out of any situation. The fine brass suggests immutable and omnipotence, and the many waters represent commanding authority. I shook Larry's hand this morning and said, comrade, I think it was a bad word, but I'm just thinking my partner. Commanding authority, His voice has, He's there to back it up. His voice is not a timid voice. It's one that speaks with authority. Man, water, you get rushing water going, man, you can knock some dirt out. You know, Niagara Falls, you see this water, man, it gets rid of some stuff. Think about God's voice. When you speak it, it destroys. It removes mountains if we speak to Him in faith. And you got to know Jesus. You got to know His Word. You got to know Him. You can't just know it's the Jesus that Pastor Lewis knows. I know the Jesus that I'm praying in the name of Jesus that Terry knows. No, you got to know Jesus yourself to get some things out of your life. Now, it's okay to have Lewis and Terry come and pray for you. That's fine. But one day you got to stand on your own. As these kids grow up, they're going to walk out of the house. And then where my grace stops, I'll get there a little bit later, God just picks it on up. I mean, He's in the all and all, but we can't go with Him. He's there. And we got to trust Him with our kids. They got a foundation. He's there to protect them. Amen? I don't care what devil comes into school, possessed what man with a gun. My child's going to live and not die. My child's going to, the Holy Ghost is going to fill him, and he's going to speak and going to declare God's promises. I'm not going to die today. That individual's going to get prayed for, or a word's going to come out. Something's going to happen because God is there. They cannot take Jesus off this earth before. The devil couldn't get rid of Jesus. He would disappear. People had to fall back when they come to arrest. They were going to arrest the disciples. Jesus spoke a word. I am the one you're looking for. The soldiers fell back. You speak God's word with authority and power, the devil has to flee. If he's in a person, he'll have to leave or that person will fall down. I ain't talking about killing the person, speaking death over them. I'm talking about taking authority over situations. I've been teaching that at school, saying that at school, and it needs to be said. God's not out of the schools. Not if my kid's there. He's in the school. Now they might say, you know, we can't teach or this or whatever they're putting on there, whatever different schools, but my kid goes there, God's there. Because He's not in a building, He's in your heart. The Spirit of God, the kingdom of God is within us. And they need to know that. That you're carrying power. You're full of dynamite, Dallas and Ruthie. Now you're not to explode on people, but you are to destroy the works of the devil. That was Jesus' purpose, and that's my purpose. And that's your purpose. The Lord's voice never changes. It's the same. Never changes. We're in the changing season. Leaves are changing. Colors changing. Jesus is still the same. He's got white hair. And that's a crown of glory. He's got brass feet. He's got all the power you need. He never changes. It is, His voice is full of power. And it is, and it's my final authority. If He said it, it's finished. I am the Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end, the first and the last. And it's signed in His blood. You can't get a higher covenant than that. Signed in somebody's blood, that represents your life. So you heard me say, no Jesus, no poverty. See, I have hope in these promises of God. I wrote them down on this paper. I got hope. What do you need? Set it, stick to it, and don't change it. I need to just get one that just says, no, I couldn't do that. Too many people in here, what happened? You know what I'm saying. Jesus never changes. His word never changes. What do you want? What do you need? What has He said? Set your thermostat and don't move off of it. Speak to it. Get you a remote control thermostat. God's word is voice activated. You got to activate it with your voice to what he said and watch it happen. Watch that sprained ankle of Lucas's completely gone. See, we got to see it completely gone, completely healed. Not with our natural eyes, but with the Spirit of God. That's that way Jesus operated. That's the way we as believers can operate. And I have, and we have, and you will, if you hear his voice and know there's power in it. It's rushing water. It's not dead, stagnant water. You see that out there? All the water that receded, you'll find those cesspools just sitting there, all that green stuff growing on it. That ain't rivers of living water. Jesus is, he's got rivers of living water. Amen? Refreshing waters. That's what his word is. That's what his Spirit is, the Holy Spirit. So what do you think when you hear the word pour? Just come on, just random now. Help me. What do you think when you hear the word pour? What do you see? Turn the TV on. What do you when you think pour, what do you see? Babies with big bellies. Starving to death. Pour, what do you see? I see beggars. Exit 33, exit 23. God bless you. Give. You know, I need some money. I don't have a home. What do you see? I see pour. We all got pictures of what we can see. What is poverty? What is being poor? I'm going to challenge you today. That's really not poverty. What we think, what Jesus sees poverty is. But I see the, when I think about the word poor, poverty, I think about the mighty dollar. I don't have enough. Don't have enough money. Don't have enough. And I told Mom, you know, we had $1 sitting there, and she's going to give it somewhere. I said, well, Mom, and then on that dollar, somebody had wrote $140 in ink. And I said, now I like that. I said, some people say $1, but if I give it, I see it going and multiplying and becoming $140. That was 100-fold plus abundantly above all that you could ask or think. If I'm thinking 100-fold, God says, well, I can do exceedingly abundantly above all that I ask or think. But then the verse says, according to the power that works in you. Do you believe I can do above 100%? Yes, Lord, I do. I wasn't that great in math. You figure it out, God. Yeah, I'm believing for the abundantly above all. I asked for 100. Now you add in the fill in the blank, Lord. Because he's looking at your heart. If he can get it to you, if he can get it through you, he can get it to you. If you can be a channel of blessing instead of a reservoir, that'd be a good one. I don't want to just be filled up with God's blessings. I want to be a channel where that water can flow. So you always got fresh water. If you start being a reservoir, you just kind of, all kind of stuff's coming in there. Money, not enough. Homeless, beggars. Dictionary says, this is what they, Webster's Dictionary, says to be poor is to be in a state or condition. And if y'all come here, if you've been here, heard a couple messages, this is called the state of faith. It's North Carolina, but we're not in a state of poverty. We're in a state of faith. I don't want to be in this state of poverty. I want to be in the faith state. It's the state of heaven. To be poor, definition, is to be in a state or condition of having little or no money. Little or no money, comma, goods or means of support. So see, it's just not about the money, your means of support. How are you going to get the money? What means or support? But I say to you today that poverty is an acronym, passing over opportunities repetitively. Poor. Passing over opportunities, there's your support, repetitively. That beggar on the street has passed over all kind of opportunities that God has given him to do something with his hands, with his voice, with his... If you can't do something with his hands, you can do something with your voice. God has put on the inside of us something bigger than poverty. He's put success there if his word is there, because his word can't return to him void. He created this earth and he gave Adam and Eve something to do. Watch over it, tend to it, take care of it. Man, he gave us the creative, the ability to create and have visions, and all the things we see are from God. Don't tell me somebody out there begging ain't got something better. that God has put on me. There's an opportunity today pass by because there's a quicker way I can maybe get some money. Standing out here is not, it's an easy way to get money if you don't like working. I'm not against if they need it. I'm just saying that's not God's way. And Jesus said the poor is going to always be with you. They're going to be there. But I don't remember him looking to his disciples and calling them poor. I remember him having a sermon one day. It was called Blessed Shall You Be. Blessed Shall You Be. It was called the Beatitudes. Be blessed if you do this. That's the kind of attitude. He wasn't speaking about poverty. If you want to get out of poverty, give somebody something. Help somebody do something. Have a can-do attitude, not a can't-do. Let me show you what Jesus did with poverty. Y'all want to go there? You want to help me? Y'all praying now. Y'all help me on this message. Now, Mama got it. She didn't get the full gist of it. I told her I'll get you the CD. I said, because I know God's going to change it around. It was for her, but it's also for the church today, for this body of believers. Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. I'm going to put my pen. I don't think I'll be back here. If I do, I know where it's at. It's at the end. Revelation's at the end, right? Sometimes you need to see the end before you can know where the beginning is. Right? God will sometimes he'll show you the end, but he won't show you how to get there. That's called a walk of faith. God showed me and told me, I've called you to minister my word. Come on, Lord, fill in the blanks for me. Give me something. Give me another paragraph. That's just a sentence. No, he said, you walk on out here. Trust me. Get out on the limb. That's where the fruit is, on the limb. Don't hang on to the trunk. Get out on the limb. Where did I tell you to go? 2 Corinthians? Are you feeling hungry today? I ain't talking about Bojangles. Get your mind off Bojangles. Get back in church here. My stomach's growling, but I'm passing through that. Got to pass over that opportunity right now. Give it back to you here in a little bit. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Talking about poverty and what Jesus did with it. When Jesus was born, I remember reading the story and the kids here talking about how the wise men brought gifts to a king. He was a little baby. Yeah, but God saw a king. What's God seeing you? What has he said about you? What did he say about those kids this morning? He sees the end from the beginning. Don't give up on that. What has God said to you? He hasn't changed. Somebody need to hear that now. God hasn't changed what he said about you. You're just in a trance. You're passing over an opportunity. You need to quit passing. Get in the no passing zone. Come on, see a no passing zone. I'm not passing this one by, Lord. 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 through 9. I'm going to read quick. Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace. Say grace. Say gift. Grace is a gift. We show known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty, abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, say grace. God has graced you with an ability. Yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing. You got to go beyond on what you can actually do. That's trusting God. Imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints, and not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. So we urged Titus that as he had begun, so he would also complete this grace in you as well. But as you abound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence, and in your love for us, see that you abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but I am testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others. For you know the grace, you know the ability of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he was what? He was rich. Yet for your sakes, for Wayne's sakes, for Maudie's sakes, he became poor. Became poor. He threw away that opportunity to be king on the earth. Something better. He became poor that you through his poverty, through his sacrifice, might, there's a key word, it's not up to God, it's up to me, that he might become rich. Bring in the covenant here. I got some covenant people. You know what about covenants? Covenants, if you're married, covenants, you ought to know this, or I didn't know this, but it's okay. Learn it now. Covenant joins strength and it joins weaknesses. The church is the bride of Christ. God needs me. I need God. You say, what does God need from you? He needs my love. He needs my fellowship. I have the Spirit of Christ on the inside of me. That's his son that cries out, Abba, Father. He needs that. A kid needs his father and his mother to recognize him, to recognize his voice, to know they are not just somebody that we feed and we train and we change the diapers. There's a God-given ability on the inside of our kids that they need to be confirmed that it's from God. And don't let the devil steal it or put the fire out. What's that little song? I ain't gonna let the devil put it out. This little light of mine. It just rings loud in my ears. I'm gonna let it shine. The devil had it put it out at one time, but Jesus relit the fire. Amen. And he's gonna try to put it out. He's gonna try to steal the word. That's your fire. Always the devil. He's good at what he does. He tries to come in and steal the word of God before it gets in your heart. Because if it starts growing in your heart and you keep feeding it, you keep putting it in your heart, it's going to become a tree. And he can't mess with that tree. It's called a tree of life. That is not in his garden. It's in God's garden. Jesus is the tree of life. And Jesus has defeated. Amen? We're going to get to eat from that tree again. In that garden. Just like Adam and Eve did here on the earth. Praise God. I'm looking forward to its fruit. The leaves are for the healing of the nations. I don't know all that. I just know it's in the Word. If I don't figure it out down here, I'm going to figure it out when I get there. I just know I'm going to take a part of that tree because it's called the tree of life. Glory to God. Was I supposed to read any more? Talking about what Jesus did with poverty. And I talked about grace. Grace is a gift. Grace is a gift of your ability. God has, each one of us has grace, and we have an appointed time here on this earth to take that ability God has given us and help somebody, love somebody, teach somebody, give. If you've got money, you've got more money than you need, and we all need more money to be a blessing, not to be a reservoir, to help somebody else out. Not just to give them the money, help them find their ability, get them off of that street, and it's going to take a work of God's grace to show them that, because we've got to operate by the gift of love to see where the problem is. And then they got to reach out by faith and receive our healing, receive our testimony, receive our counsel so that God can bless them. I mean, you can give that poor man $100, but for somebody that's poor, what's going to happen? It's gone. He's looking for the next 100. Something's got to change. There's got to be something put on the inside before you can have anything on the outside. You've got to have God's wisdom, God's love, God's ability. And that takes love and it takes time. Marriages, training kids, it takes time. And then you got kids and grandkids coming. So how precious is our time? Don't see it as a burden, see it as a blessing. God so loved the world that he gave. What can we give? Give what we have. It don't have to be money. The focus is not, I'm going to get there. Let me keep on going. Y'all getting hungry. I asked Mama this question. I'm not going to ask you. I might ask you. What is the root of all evil? I got some good answers. Mom just said she knew she'd been focusing on that money. And we was talking about something, and I mentioned something. She goes, yeah. I might have put my finger on that dollar bill. She said, yeah, money's the root of all evil. I said, oh, wait a minute. I got you, Mama. I'm going to take you to the school now. I got you on that one. I said, I'm going to just get in the Bible. I'm going to show you where it's at. And I did. I took her to 1 Timothy. See, this is knowing the word is going to keep you out of the ditch. Traditions of men, what people think they know and ain't what God says, will get you messed up. Religion will get you messed up. But a relationship with Jesus will get you fixed up. Amen. It'll get you out of the mess that you're in. John Jenkins was famous for saying here, preaching, you've got to take your mess and make a message out of it. That's what he did with John, the apostle. He was in a mess. But Jesus showed him a vision of the beginning from the end. He's the Alpha and Omega. Cheered him up. I bet John, he was writing that book, thinking about Jesus, thinking about that vision. Glory to God. That'll get you through that Isle of Patmos. Jesus gave him a pat on the back, patting the spirit for the Isle of Patmos. And it took him through all that persecution. What did I say? 1 Timothy 6, verses 1 through 10. I might shorten it up here, because y'all know a lot of it here. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And just look at, now you need to hear it all. Let as many bondservants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor. If you're a slave, honor your master. If you're underneath a boss that's giving you a hard time, just bless them and curse not, that God can minister to them. Work, give them some grace. And those, verse 2, and those who have believing masters, let them not despise them because they're brethren, but rather serve them because those who are benefited are believers and beloved. Teach and exhort these things. This is what we got to teach. We don't repay evil for evil. Like if you watched Bonanza, like I like to watch Bonanza. Man, they out there, they stealing somebody's horse. Well, Ben, he stole my horse. You know what the Bible says? An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Well, what if you don't have a tooth? You gonna give your eye? That ain't God. That's what the Word said, but it ain't the truth. It was a covenant. It was an old covenant. But that was not God's true character. His character is love your enemy. Those that spit on you, bless them. Curse not. Praise the Lord. Verse 3. If anyone teaches otherwise, and does not consent to a wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words. We'll argue this word, debate this word with you, and where is it going to get you? Strife, contentment. And then you open up the door to the devil. You just passed over an opportunity and let the devil in. It's useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. The hypocrites, they love to pray in the streets to get much gain. Good word, brother. Bring your money down. You're like, man, you're taking up the offering at the end of this? Yep. But it ain't about your money. It ain't about your money. God said, take up the offering at the end. There's a purpose behind it. I don't know what it is, maybe, but he does. I know he does. There's a purpose. I think he's told me. I lost my place, but I found it. Verse 6, now godliness with contentment, there we go. You got to pray for that lost loved one, is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world. You never saw a U-Haul behind a hearse. You didn't bring it. You can't take it with you. She knew that verse. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out, but we can send it ahead, I'd like to say. Our rewards are in heaven. What we do down here, God sees, and he's writing a book. Everything we do. I'm talking about the good things. The bad things you do, he's done forgive you for that. Now, you need to confess it the devil's bringing it back to your remembrance. Confess it. So Jesus took that from me. He forgave me from that. And having food and clothing with these, we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich, see, their desire is wrong. They desire to be rich and fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. Put Judas right there. He was the son of perdition. His eye was on the treasury and it wasn't on the works that Jesus was doing. Oh, he saw the works. The devil believes God, but he doesn't love God. He doesn't worship God. He's in love with the almighty dollar. For the love of money, and that's where I got Mama. I said, underline that in your Bible, Mama, and put parentheses around it. It does not say money is the root of all evil. It says the love of money. That money is neither good nor evil. It's a tool. In the hand of a righteous man, can turn it to 140. Because the God-given ability, with God's grace, he can make it abound. Amen? For the love of money is the root of all evil, all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in the greediness and pierced themselves through many, many sorrows. Just had to take you there. But Jesus took care of your poverty. Flip back to 2 Corinthians, or forward. And I'm closing here. Brother Jesse would say, this is my first closing. I'm pre-warning you. I have short closings, conclusions. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I knew that wasn't right. That was good, but that wasn't it. See, it pays instead of when you write down your notes for the message, you need to type them out. Because sometimes you can't read. I call my own chicken scratch. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and look at verses 10 through 12. Jesus is our, this is after he became poor so that we through his poverty will become rich. Covenants. Jesus didn't have poverty. He had richness. Covenants take strengths and weaknesses. I take what Jesus has. He takes what I have. I have poverty. I have bad advice. I have bad counsel. Jesus takes it and I take his richness. I take his wisdom. I take his love. I take his counsel to be able to prosper in this earth. That's an exchange. That's what Jesus did in this covenant. And he signed it in his blood. In other words, you're not getting this, you're not getting that poverty back. But it can't come against your will. He'll take it, but you got to grab it back. You got to say you want it back, but who would want to go like that, like the dog going back to his vomit? You don't want that poverty. Jesus took it, let him, he's already taken care of it. Because verse 10 says, and in this I give advice. Jesus took our poverty that we could become rich. In verse 10, and in this I give advice. It is to your advantage. Say advantage. Not only to be doing what you began. What are you doing? Where are you at right now? Are you not sure you're going to make it through? Have you given up on your dream or you think that's not what God called you to do? It's your advantage not only to be doing what you began and were designed to do a year ago. Think back. What would you want to do a year ago? You ain't quite got it there yet, or you gave up on it. But now you must also complete the doing of it. That's called faith. That's a poverty mentality. I can't do it. I can't do it. I never will. See, that's poverty. Jesus took that. Since he took it, now you've got his ability right here. This is grace speaking to you. You can do it. I can do all things through Christ who gave me his richness, his wisdom, his power, his ability. And he took my poverty. He took my shame. He took my incompatibilities. That's a big word. But now you must complete the doing of it that is there was a readiness to desire it. If you've got a desire to do it, God will help you. He'll give you the grace to do it. So there also may be a completion of what you have. There's wisdom in the Bible that says, before you build a building, sit down and count up the cost. Write the vision. What do you need? Who do you need? How much do you need? Write it out and then believe God. There's the vision, Lord. Now I thank you for your grace and your power and the support, the ministry of helps, whatever business you're in. For if there is first things first, Lewis. For if there is first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has and not according to what he does not have. Don't look at what you don't have. Come on, y'all help me. Look at what God has. That's where you're going. Abraham says, I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. And he's there. In just a short period of time, I mean, he lived with the patriarch. He lived to be over 100 years, but it's just the blink of an eye. And he enjoyed the benefits of heaven down here because he operated and walked by faith. And if you walk by faith, you're going to live by faith. The just shall live by faith. You'll be justified. You'll be blessed. And you'll be a channel that God can bless. And you won't be poor no more. I like that. I think that ministered to mom. Did it minister to anybody today? Any poverty mentality? It ain't about money. It's about your ability that the devil's tried to come in there and say, you can't do that. You can't do that. I said, no, I can't, devil, but Jesus can. And he's in me, and I in him, and the Father's in me. We all together. We the three musketeers going to go get something going. You might have a business. God's ability. He has put his grace, poured out his grace through his Son. Jesus did not struggle here on this earth, because he knew where he came from. He knew who he was first. And knowing that, he knew where he came from. He came from God. He is God. And that's our whole purpose of life, is, Lord, who am I? Where did I come from? And where am I going? There's a message in that. Not today, though. I don't know. What are y'all doing this afternoon? Y'all still hungry? Wayne didn't say anything. No. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to speak to poverty. As the voice of many rushing waters, I'm going to speak to poverty, thinking poverty mentality, by the voice of God. And you believe that it's Jesus commanding authority into your life, as the Scripture says. And you just grab a hold of it and don't let go of it. And don't let this poverty mentality, I can't do. No, I'm a can do. I can do all things through Christ. That is the anointing. That is His ability. And He'll give it to me. Because that's how we're going to make it through till He gets here. Because He said, when I come back, shall I find faith on the earth? Say yes. Yes, Lord. You'll find faith at my house. It's for me and my house. We'll serve the Lord. Through hard times, bad times, you're right there in it. And you're going to get me through it. So, Father, I just thank you right now. And just agree with me, church. We speak to mentality, poverty mentalities right now, that the devil has strongholds in our minds that we might not even know about. Things that were spoken on of us when we were kids. Things that we saw growing up, that this is just how things have got to be. No, I destroy that thought right now in the name of Jesus. Jesus walked this earth releasing faith and power and blessing. He blessed all those that came to Him. So, Father, I thank you. All the people that are here today and those that are a part of Word of Faith Worship Center and your church as a whole, Lord, we receive your blessings. We receive your grace. We receive your ability to go out of this place, Father God, and to help somebody else see the love like you, that we would have the eyes of Jesus. Lord, help us to see those that need a special word, a special touch. And, Lord, those that need money, but, Lord, they need to know the gospel. It's the good news that Jesus came to set you free. He came to set the captives free. He came to give sight to the blind and to give hope to the hopeless. So, Father, we just thank you right now. We believe, and I believe, that I am speaking with your authority over this poverty mentality right now, over every area of our lives. We take authority over it, and we cast it out right now in the name of Jesus. And we receive the wisdom of God today of how to know and how to act and react to situations that would come upon us in this earth. We thank you for that garment, Lord, the garment of praise that you give us. It steals the enemy. And, Father, we thank you, Lord, for these children that received your words this morning, that, Lord, that word is watered by faith. And, Lord, by that water of faith, Lord, that word continues to grow in their hearts and through their minds. And, Lord, they reach out here and they receive the impossible because of your anointing, because of your great love that was poured out and is still alive in your church and in your people. And I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for that, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus.